couple of years ago, before the pandemic, in the Wall Street Journal, the Wall Street Journal did a profile on the Nehemiah Manufacturing Company. It was profiled as a second chance company, meaning they gave jobs to ex-convicts. It was founded by two men, Dan Meyer and Richard Palmer, who both had been in the consumer products working for Procter & Gamble, and they had sold businesses, and they wanted a community development program in Cincinnati. They wanted an urban revitalization program, and they wanted to use their skills in Cincinnati to support the community. In 2011, they started hiring employees with criminal records. And by 2020, when the article premiered, 80% of around 200 employees had criminal records. The Wall Street Journal profiled three of these individuals that they had hired. One of the managers, Rayshon Holt, fatally shot a friend when he was 15 years old. And he spent two decades in prison. He went from being a night shift manager at $19 an hour to a manager. The operations manager, Michael Taylor, suffered from drug and alcohol addiction, which led to burglary, which led to incarceration. He was running the operations. And a single mom, Gina Johnson, age 56, was in and out of prison. And the job helped her rebuild her relationship with her children that she was unable to raise herself. It was said there in 2020, I'm sure these statistics still hold up, I did check them online to make sure that they're still a going concern. It said that the turnover at the Nehemiah Manufacturing Company is at 15%, the employee turnover, below the 38.5% for the industry. Dan Meyer told the reporter from the Wall Street Journal, "This can be tough, hiring ex-convicts." One time he came across a panhandler on the street not too far away from their facility, and he brought him into the facility and he told the staff to hire him. They gave him a government ID, they gave him a bed and a shelter, they gave him an alarm clock, all the things you need to be successful. But after a few weeks, he got fired for showing up drunk on the job. Dan said he wasn't ready. "But we are about second chances." He ended the article this way. "We are about second chances. Third chances." Dan said, "I may even go to five." Dan Meyer's five chances sounds a lot like Peter's question to Jesus. You could tell Peter was maybe asking a theological question, or maybe he was frustrated with somebody. So he says to Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me?" "Seven times, Lord?" He's looking for the right answer here. We know the answer. Jesus says, not seven times, 77 times. Jesus is telling people that this unrelenting forgiveness is faithfulness. Unrelenting forgiveness is faithfulness. And that's where we pick up today in 2 Timothy 1:13. We've gotten a lot of work done in this chapter. We talked about a soldier from Lars Keeley. We talked about the athlete, Jesse Owens from Chris White. We talked about the farmer from Mark Maynard. We're going to skip a little section here, and we're going to go to this end of this thing where it says, "This is a trustworthy saying." We're going to go to just verse 13. Andrew Day is going to pick it up later and fill in that remaining section. I think Dalton is speaking next week, so you're going to get a break there as well. So look forward to hearing from there. 2 Timothy 1:13. "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." So there's two words that we use for faith. We have the one word faith from Hebrews. It says faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. a confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. I think we're all familiar with that definition of faith. And then we have the word faithful. The synonyms for faithful are usually loyal and steadfast. We use that in a sentence. We say, I'm faithful to my wife, meaning you're loyal to your wife. It means you don't cheat on your wife. We're going to try to combine these two words today, faith and faithful, and see if we can make that word work. So which word is Peter using here? Faith, meaning belief, or faithful, meaning loyalty or steadfastness? Sometimes we use these two words in a sentence to contradict each other. We say, I'm a believer, I have faith, I'm a believer, but I'm not always faithful. For some reason, that makes sense to us. And Jesus recognizes the tension in this idea of belief and action. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, crossing the Sea of Galilee. He sees Jesus out there, and he knows that if Jesus calls him out on the water, he'll be okay. He believes that. So he says, Jesus, invite me out onto the water. Tell me to come to you, he says to Jesus. So, of course, Jesus says, come, Peter. And, of course, we know the story. Jesus starts looking down at the water, and he's walking on the water, and he can't believe it. He gets fearful. He starts to sink. Jesus reaches out and grabs his hand. And Jesus chides him. He says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus doesn't credit the action of fear. He credits the lack of faith, not the fear. Jesus wants to align our faith and our action. He wants to use our faith to make us faithful. He wants to align heart, mind, body, and spirit. When the father who's got the sick son comes to Jesus for his healing, he thinks that there's no chance that really Jesus can heal his son, but he says, maybe you can give it a shot. Maybe there's an outside chance that you can heal my son. Jesus quickly corrects him. He says, all things are possible to him who believes. In tears, we have the father says this thing that we notice this contradiction that we just said. In tears, the father says, I believe, help my unbelief. He says, I've got the belief in my heart, but you've got to give me action. You've got to give me action, Lord. Jesus wants to align so that our belief, our faith, is aligned with our actions. So that our faith makes us faithful. Who goes first in this verse? Faithless. If we are faithless, he is faithful. Who goes first? I think we know the answer to that. We don't go first with God. God is the prime mover. This idea of a prime mover is that God is a self-move being that is the source of all motion. The prime mover doesn't move. He causes motion. So let's go back to the verse. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. We know that God's not fickle in his love for us, just as we know that we're not fickle with our children in our love for them. Sometimes a child gets tired, and he doesn't want to do something, and he says to his parent, I hate you. You see that, you know, as the kid's getting dragged through the mall. You say to the child, okay, somebody needs a nap. You're not going to hate the child back because he says, I hate you. But there's a harder concept here. For he cannot disown himself. We call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, anointed ones, the word means, Christ in us. Our faith aligns us with Christ, so that we are united with Christ. The verse says, he cannot disown himself. If I've overstated that, if you think that you're a follower of Christ but not united with Christ, or that you're part of a religion called Christianity, and you're not united with Christ, one and the same, let me know about that. But I stared at that verse for a while, And that was the conclusion I came to. Paul backs this up, I think. He says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul covers the waterfront there. Nothing. Not death, not life, not the present, not the future, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is the Nehemiah Manufacturing Company a company of second chances? Is it due to labor shortages? You can't find enough good people, so you got to go find the ex-cons that are shut out from the labor force. Is it to have a community impact? Maybe you got some federal tax dollars flowing your way. Is it about giving back? You've already cashed in your chips, so now it's time to give back to the community. I think all those things can be true, and it might solve some of those things. But hiring ex-cons is probably a lot of work. For folks of you that have worked in ministry and that type of work, you know it can be a lot of work to hire people that have been off the rails before. I think what Dan Myers doing exemplifies this idea of alignment. He's received God's grace, and he wants to demonstrate God's grace to his community. A leader exemplifies God's grace when he accepts people as redeemable. That can be hard because sometimes we like to make sure that we're narrowing our selections down to people that can be trusted. But God trusts us even though we are sinners. Dan Myers thinking, "Not my will, Lord. I'd like to have the Harvard MBAs come in here and give them an internship at $7.25 an hour." They're probably bad workers, so that's probably a bad example. But he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." God's not going to quit on you, so you're not going to quit on other people. You're faithful. You're not going to give up. You're going to get what you don't deserve. You're going to get God's grace, and so you're going to give God's grace. I've been working with my brother's small business for a few years, and it's been a little frustrating at times, and I've moved between hope, confusion, and anger. I reviewed his credit report after hearing some hints of things that were not going so well. And as you can imagine, it wasn't an A-plus report. If you have a less than stellar credit report, it means you haven't paid people back that lent you money. I was like, if my mother saw that report, she'd not be pleased with that. My mother would not think of not paying anybody back, as a lot of your mothers, I'm sure, are the same. So I sent him a sharp text after viewing his credit report. I was angry. I said, "You're putting your family at risk. You're putting your children at risk." To me, I got angry. It's like letting your children play in traffic. That's what not paying your bills looks like to me. I equated those two to me. I've gotten angry with them before. Maybe that's my typical emotion. My brother and I flew up to Memphis when his wife called us one day. We flew up to Memphis to go looking for him. We flew back a couple days later without ever finding him. Still a little angry about that. So one day, it was probably after one of these runs, I was moved to feel a different way after praying about it for a little bit. I was like, "Why am I mad at my brother that I love? Why am I mad at him? Has he done anything to me?" Not really. He's not done anything to me. He's mostly been doing things that aren't in his best interests. If helping him means giving him money, I'll do that. If that's the right thing to do. If helping him not means not giving him money, I'll do that. If I say I love him, that means I need to give him grace. I need to align my belief and my actions. I want to do what's best for him. I don't want my life to be separated into what I believe about them and what my actions are. I don't want to be this separate person of saying I love you and at the same time saying I'm walking around with this grudge, holding on to this grudge that I'm mad with you. I don't want to be like that. Faithless. God's not faithless with me. God's faithful with me, even though I'm sure I've disappointed him on more than one occasion. I want to be aligned. I want to say I love you, and I'm going to do what's best for you. And there's nothing really you can do to offend me or hurt me. I've already forgiven you in the past, present, and the future. This is Paul's encouragement to Timothy. Be steadfast, and this is the encouragement I'm going to give you today. Be steadfast, be loyal, be faithful, because God is steadfast with you, and God is doing the work. We can't do the work in someone's heart. God's going to do that work. And God is doing that work in you. And we know with God, failure is not only not an option, it's not possible with God. You cannot fail because God cannot disown himself. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this Good Friday. We thank you for being loyal and steadfast with us. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins, for our past sins, for our present sins, for our future sins. And thank you for doing the work in us that you started. We thank you for this Good Friday where we remember that you came and gave your life for our sins, that you would wash all our sins away. You took all our sins upon you so that we wouldn't have any sin. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables.